Alleluia. 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 The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
When Jesus had driven out a demon, some of the crowd said, "By the power of Beelzebul, the prince of demons, he drives out demons." Others, to test him, asked him for a sign from heaven. But he knew their thoughts, and he said to them, "Every kingdom divided against itself will be laid waste, and house will fall against house. And if Satan is divided against himself, how will his kingdom stand? For you say it is by Beelzebul that I drive out demons. If I then drive out demons by Beelzebul, by whom do your own people drive them out? Therefore they will be your judges. But if it is by the finger of God that I drive out demons, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. When a strong man, fully armed, guards his palace, his possessions are safe. But when one stronger than he attacks and overcomes him, he takes away the armor on which he relied and distributes the spoils. Whoever is not with me is against me. Whoever does not gather with me scatters. When an unclean spirit goes out of someone, it roams through arid regions searching for rest. But finding none, it says, 'I shall return to my home from which I came.' Upon returning, it finds it swept clean and put in order. Then it goes back and brings seven other spirits more wicked than itself, who move in and dwell there. And that last condition of the man is worse than the first." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Today in the first reading, St. Paul talks to us about being spiritual sons and daughters of Abraham. Realize that it is those who have faith who are children of Abraham. St. Paul was writing this to the Judaized Christians in Galatia, those who thought that in order to be a good Christian, you first had to be a perfect Jew, who didn't realize that the Mosaic Law was a preparation, literally a pedagogue, a tutor. Somebody would travel with you to class in the ancient mentality until you met the real master. Jesus was the master who would take it from there and bring you so much further. It was like the exercise for those who are musicians. It's the playing the arpeggio. It's the doing the scales on the piano before you're capable of doing the great sonatas. They're important, but they were provisional towards something much higher, that doesn't obliterate anything that came before, but fulfills it. To be spiritual sons and daughters of Abraham by faith, so that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith, because faith opens us out to receive that gift and to correspond. St. Paul was battling against the mentality in Galatia that was undermining the gospel he had preached, precisely because there were those who were saying you had to live all 613 commandments of the Old Testament. You likewise had to obey all the interpretations that were getting you to focus like the Pharisees on the tiniest little stuff without the bigger stuff. Precisely about faith, about God's own power, about His saving grace. It was focused on our action rather than our cooperation with God's action. So St. Paul thundered very, very hard so that people would hear the message. But the big takeaway is not just why the Judaized Christians were wrong. The great takeaway is how we're supposed to live. We're supposed to live by faith, just like Abraham. That we're constantly being asked to make journeys, just like Abraham. At 75, leave all his comforts, leave even his life, leave his security, and go And for me, it's always the thing. God doesn't even tell him where he's going. Go to a place I will show you. And then that place, he'd have to fight for it. He'd have to battle. It wasn't tied with a bow. It's going to be a tremendous amount of work. But Abraham went with faith. God had made a promise to Abraham. Normally when you're 75, you don't think it's going to take 25 years for a promise to be fulfilled. But Abraham continued to persevere in faith. He persevered in faith even when God would seemingly ask him to sacrifice what was dearest to him. But Abraham continued to believe. Because the Lord calls each of us to have faith like Abraham, he's going to give us Ur's to leave. He's going to give us stars to count in the middle of broad daylight, which is when he counted the stars, not during darkness. But we know that the stars are there, even though we can't see them. He's going to give us promises that are going to take a really, 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 really long time to fulfill. He's going to give us things that are very dear to us that we may need to sacrifice. St. Paul had this type of faith like Abraham, to leave everything and give his entire life, crisscrossing the globe in order to help people grow in the gift of faith that God had given so that they might bear fruit that flows from faith in cooperation with the Holy Spirit. And he wants that same gift for us. That battle between faith and the opposition from those who are tied into a rigid adherence to one's own works in correspondence to God is the setting for today's gospel. These are the first readings I ever had a chance to preach on, sisters. 20 years ago, liturgically this week, the day after my diaconal ordination. You know, I think if you... God's kind of funny, because over the course of a 2-year liturgical cycle, this is like about 110-mile-an-hour fastball at your chin. It's just not an easy thing to preach about. But nevertheless, I'm still working at it after 20 years. And maybe after 50, I'll get it. But that's the dynamic here. So Jesus is working miracles. Extraordinary miracles. Exorcisms. Everybody knows these people are possessed. Working exorcisms was one of the signs of the Messiah finally coming. But those who were opposing Jesus weren't going to accept anything he did with faith. They couldn't deny that people had been exorcised. Apparent for everybody to see. They couldn't deny that cripples were walking, that blind people were seeing, that deaf people were hearing, that mute people were talking. They couldn't deny that there was no food in these big crowds. And then all of a sudden people were satiated and there were baskets left over. They couldn't deny any of it. So, unable to deny it, because they didn't want to respond with faith, they came up with an alternative explanation, which was outright slander. You're working these exorcisms by the power of Beelzebul. What does Beelzebul mean? 20 years ago when I was a seminarian and I had to learn all of this stuff, Beelzebul means master of the palace. It's the chief of the diabolical house, right? The chief of demons. That's why it's normally translated as Satan. It's by the power of the prince of demons that you're casting out demons. Jesus responded with two arguments. First argument is one that Lincoln himself used during the Civil War here in the U.S. A house divided against itself cannot stand. Why would the devil be casting out his own successes? He would be self-defeating. It's the first argument. It makes no sense. Do you realize how illogical that is, Jesus was saying? But then second argument is, if I'm casting out by Beelzebul, by whom are the other exorcisms taking place? Including by some Pharisees, using exorcism prayers that stretched all the way back to Solomon. And they were evidently working. Josephus, the Roman historian, was talking about those types of exorcisms in his histories. You would all then be agents of Beelzebul too. And they didn't want to do that. They didn't want to admit that. Again, it held no water. So then Jesus went on. It's one of the images of Jesus that I think very easy for men to relate to. I don't know how easy it is for religious women to relate to. But when I was a young kid, I used to like professional wrestling. When I was at Harvard, I actually got a grant from Harvard to do a real study of why people like professional wrestling, which gave me free tickets to go watch a lot of pro wrestling. In pro wrestling, nobody smack talks better than professional wrestlers. It's part of the whole shtick of professional wrestling. Jesus was talking some smack here, but he was also totally backing it up. He says, the devil's a strong man. Nobody's going to deny that. And he tries to guard his palace. But guess what I'm doing as the Messiah, he says. I'm coming in as a stronger man. You remember what John the Baptist said about Jesus. Someone mightier than I is coming, whose sandal strap I'm not fit to loosen. That mightier man, that stronger man, is Jesus. And he was going to come in to Satan's palace, bind him, and then divide his spoils. And what Satan spoils? Satan's spoils are those whom he could get to distrust the Lord. Satan's spoils are those who he could get to sin. He was going to set the captives free who were kidnapped and held in bondage by the strong man. That image of Jesus, that strength of Jesus, is really important for somebody who regularly gives in to the devil's temptation of fear. Jesus really is that stronger man. And he comes on in to raid the palace in which the devil wants to keep us hostage and to keep others hostage. I think we need to invoke Jesus more under this title, at the same time recognizing that he's the meekest man who ever lived. And though he wouldn't break a bruised reed, he will kick the crap out of the devil. We need faith to believe that what Jesus does, he does by God's power. The devil's constantly trying to insinuate other things, but I do that for you, Sister Talitha. We've got to have trust in exactly what the Lord is doing and crush with both feet the devil's slithering. One last point that Jesus says here, which is a warning to us, that likewise plays into the whole category of faith. He says, when an unclean spirit goes out of someone, it often doesn't find a place to rest. We remember what the demons asked Jesus when he was working in exorcism in the region of Dalmanutha, and they begged to be sent into the pigs, and then it led to the stampede of pigs into the ocean. They're kind of wandering there looking for a host. There's a sense of ownership that the devils try to have over us. I shall return to my home from which I came. They didn't like to be booted by the stronger man. And even though the house is swept, even though we could say the soul is cleansed, that's not enough. Upon returning, it finds it swept clean and put in order. Then it goes back and brings seven other spirits, more wicked than himself, who move in and dwell there. And the last condition is worse than the first. It's not enough just to be freed. Let's make a real practical application. When we go to confession and our soul's been restored to its baptismal beauty by the Lord's mercy, by that powerful detergent of His precious blood that makes our soul white, we can't just rest there. We've got to fill that soul with greater faith. We can't just stay put. We've got to be walking along that road of faith, filling ourselves more and more with God so that this demon finds no place to return or with other demons. One of the things that the devil always tries to do is, as soon as we have been freed of his clutches through a good confession, he's looking for re-entry. The experience of a confessor over the course now of 19 years is such that many people are discouraged that even on the very day that they've been absolved, all of a sudden they start caving in to various temptations. That's by the devil's plan. He doesn't like to be booted, and he thinks that he owns us. And so what we need to do is we need to grow in faith, precisely to build those spiritual muscles of faith, hope, and love, so that the avenues for the devil's attempted re-entry become smaller and smaller and smaller until the stronger man definitively closes them. Jesus says today, whoever is not with me is against me. Whoever does not gather with me scatters. But the way we show that we are with Jesus is precisely to gather with Jesus. That's why at the end of every Mass is that stronger man comes to take up his abode, because we are his. He makes us his temple. With him on the inside, he wants us to go out and gather his harvest. The more we are going in that direction, the less we're static for the devil to come in and try to make us anew accessible. Spiritual sons and daughters of Abraham live by faith. And the fulfillment of that faith is the trust we have in Jesus, who continues to work this mighty work so that we can truly become strong with him. And God, in a world that occasionally will slander us like he himself was slandered, like Paul was slandered, as we continue to gather more and more people into the strong man's eternal palace. Praise be Jesus Christ.
Amen.